Okay, I'm recording.
Oh no!
As soon as Dale leaves.
You know, this is going to be the most fucked up episode yet.
Probably. That was back when I could wear spandex, Tara.
Oh, God.
Negative, Martha.
Oh no.
It's channeling through me, Martha. Exterminate.
Wait a minute. Did you move Wonder Woman's crotch away from the heat vent?
The Happiness Patrol, After Dark.
After Dark. That would be brilliant, actually.
Quack, 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 quack,
quack. No, that's an angry duck, dear.
That does sound like an angry duck.
That's how the frogs go off. Trust me, that's how the frogs go.
You should put in a little tiny frog-sized trampoline. And it is just the best film ever. I'm going to start that again, Lewis.
Hang on, no.
He had
issue,
that.
Issue. That's the word, issue. Okay.
You got so far.
Thank you. So,
you're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol, episode number 28. Are we on episode number 28? I think so.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting day because we're going to be talking about Vincent and the Doctor, the latest episode. And
what was his name, Lewis? What was the artist's name?
Vincent. Vincent. Yeah, we've been discussing the correct pronunciation of Vincent.
Shut up.
Van
Vincent what?
Go, as they say in America.
It is pronounced go in the United States, and it is pronounced go in the UK and the other educated parts of the world.
Yeah, the educated part.
Dale, you're going to have to pronounce this for me, okay? Go ahead and pronounce it for me, so I'll try to get it right.
It's Vincent Van Gogh.
You know, like you're trying to hawk up a hairball.
Gogh. Oh, shut up, you grumpy woman. Gogh.
So Vincent Van Gogh.
Technically, and to be very, very technical, it is Vincent Willem Van Gogh, because his uncle was also Vincent Van Gogh. Oh, that's it. You take a drink instead. Sounded like a fucking terrapin.
So anyway, we're going to be reviewing Vincent and the Doctor.
You said you pronounce his name. Pronounce his name, bitch.
Oh, gosh. Vincent Van Gogh.
That's closer.
Okay.
No, that was very good. I was suitably impressed. Leela, your turn.
Okay, Leela.
I honestly can't.
Leela.
I really can't.
Hey, don't make her cough up a lung.
So anyway, Vincent and the Doctor. We're going to review that. We're going to talk about the Happiness Patrol's giveaway contest. You know, we got a few more weeks for that. And we are... And related to that, we are only just a few weeks away from the exciting season finale of Doctor Who this season. So you guys all on board for this one?
Oh yeah, let's go.
All right, hang on tight, kids, because the Happiness Patrol starts now. I never really liked Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
It's Van Gogh.
Okay, there's another...
Not as the Doctor pronounced it, Van Gogh, which just means he's from London, which is really fucking annoying. It's Van Gogh. Say it, Lewis.
I can't say it like that.
Okay, Van Gogh.
There you go.
Van Gogh.
Yeah, try not to puke on the keyboard.
Okay, Van Gogh. Van Gogh.
There we go.
Van Gogh. Van Gogh. No wonder everybody says it Van Gogh.
No, they don't. Only...
Americans.
Stupid people. All right, yes,
American. I've always said it Van Gogh because I can't say it anywhere.
Well, that's the way I've never, ever heard it pronounced any other way than Van Gogh.
That's because you're American.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I've heard it pronounced so many different ways, but I have to say it Van Gogh because I can't.
But it's Holland is what
I know.
Said.
It's Dutch. It's Dutch, yeah. Not Holland.
Holland, age from old, age from Olin.
I was going to say, if you say Hollish or something.
He's Hollish. He's Hollish, isn't he? I can't wait to see the mail. After I say he's Hollish. We're going to talk about Van Gogh. He's Hollish. He was like this painter guy. And anyway, So now, shall we get on with the review?
Yeah.
I was about to talk about Five Doctors.
Yeah, right. Okay. Vincent and the Doctor. You know, this, I saw it, I only got to see it once. Dale, how many times have you seen it?
Once. It's on again at 8.
Oh, okay. Leela?
Twice.
You saw it twice?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Leela's in the lead.
Leela's in the lead.
That's a first.
That's a good thing. So Leela, what was your first impression, hon?
It was amazing, and I think it's definitely become my favorite episode of the season so far. I absolutely love it.
So, Dale, what was your first impression?
I thought it was boring, predictable, humdrum, and really badly overacted.
I thought
it was actually perfect. Perfect Doctor Who.
Tara?
I am just over the moon to have finally found my episode for this season.
Oh, great. Cool.
This is the one that I'm going to have multiple copies of. I'm going to buy a copy for the iPad. I'm going to have the DVD. I'm going to have the Bluetooth edition. You name it. If it comes out, I'm going to fucking buy it.
And the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. and I'm painting the incredible turkey monster.
Oh, so, well, funny.
So I've already got my paints out. I got my canvas out. Did a bunch of still frames from the episode and printed them out last night.
Oh, how
and
funny.
I'm going to sit down and sketch it out on the canvas and start painting it.
Can we put
I bet your print is not as funky as the Doctor's.
Oh, you're right.
The funky printer.
She gets better black and white, though.
My first impression of this thing was like, wow, what a sunshiny kind of happy sort of episode this was. I mean, because it really did. It was a feel-good episode. And I'm not exactly sure.
Except that everybody was in fucking tears at the end.
Well, I'm just telling you about my first impression right now.
It was a positive episode. It was a very positive episode.
Yeah.
A, because it's Doctor Who, so it has to be, really. I mean, as Richard Curtis has said already, you know, you cannot write a really dark, depressing Doctor Who, because technically, you know, it's shown for children and early teenage kids, so you know they need something that's going to keep them amused, keep them entertained, keep them hooked. So hence it had the big turkey monster in it, but it did deal with a lot of very adult issues, and I thought it dealt with them beautifully.
Yes, speaking of those issues, it was impressive to see Doctor Who tackle these sort of issues, but they did it in such a way that it was it didn't interfere. It wasn't like a preachy. It wasn't like an over the head, you know, hitting you over the head with the issues of Vincent and his anxiety and depression and mental illness, I guess I should say. So that was really cool. I enjoyed that, and it was also really cool to see a nice historical take again. You know, I mean, I don't think we've had that since Shakespeare Code.
No, you see, that's, I don't term that as a historical one, because although, yes, all right, it's Shakespeare,
right,
it was so sci-fi.
Uh-huh.
I don't call that a historical one.
Oh, really?
Okay,
it may have had a historical figure
in
it.
For the same reason, you're gonna discount the one with Churchill, because I had this debate last night.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, I got
you. Absolutely. You see, the Churchill one, although, yeah, lots of World War and KBO and all that sort of stuff, it's full of bloody Daleks, and we all know that the went around in World War II in either of their guises, either as the decent MOD one or as the Teletubbies. So, no, I don't count that as a historical one either.
Well, historical aspects, I guess, but this one, I guess, was really more historical than those, I guess. So
yeah,
not
entirely, because it had the giant turkey monster.
Uh huh. Right.
I'm trying to remember the damn name of now.
Oh, was I have it.
The turkey Crafeus. Monster.
Crafeus.
There you go. Crafeus. Right.
It did remind me of something like a mythical sort of thing.
We have a giant turkey.
Oh, the griffin. It reminded me a little bit of the griffin.
Head of one creature and head of a head, because the griffin's got the head of a
of
something awful and mm-hmm. and body of a lion or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, but even in the monster, the theme of depression kind of came along in there, you know, because he was like left behind. He left behind because he was blind, so he was like disabled. So he was like, you know, separated from his kind, stranded on Earth, and didn't know what the hell he was up to. So, you know, so he's like lashing out the best he knew how, or the only way he knew how. So that was kind of interesting too. Not to be
but there was a much more direct link to it than that, uh-huh. because of course Vincent was the only one who could see the monster.
Uh-huh.
So was it part of his madness, or uh-huh. was it a real monster? So you had to take that into account as well.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's kind of weird.
And Vincent was also known for lashing out at his neighbors. They called him, what was it? Fauru, the red-headed madman.
Red-headed madman. Well.
Because he had this habit of drinking absinthe and going on benders. And absinthe, see all sorts of things.
He went on what?
Benders.
A bender.
So either he was very familiar with the robot from Futurama. Or he liked gay men.
What?
You know, you drink enough absinthe.
Oh, hang on a second. We're getting into the gay men British slang sort of stuff again. Now, what is a bender, Dale?
A bender is a gay man.
A bender is a gay. No, so a chicken is a young,
it's
gay,
a young
man.
Gay man. Yes.
A bender is just a
yes.
gay man.
Yes.
God.
And a gender bender is a transvestite.
Well, gender bender I can understand, but gee whiz. Okay, so there you have it. You'll learn something when you listen to the Happiness Patrol. So
yeah, it won't be anything useful, but you'll learn it.
you'll learn it, all right. Are you learning, Leela? Did you know about a bender?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, did you want to? No, I didn't think so.
No, not really.
Oh wow! So the guy who played Vincent,
Tony Curran,
brilliant.
He was
brilliant.
Good. He was really good. It, you know, the only, if I had only one real criticism of this episode is that, here comes your criticism alert from Uncle Dale. So the only criticism I might have is that you didn't get to see as much. It wasn't long enough, you know, once again. And but actually,
God, I don't think I could have taken any more.
On the same side of that, you know, there's been a lot of episodes this season where it's like, whoa, why am I supposed to care about this, you know, person, because it's going by so quickly, it's hard for me to make any kind of connection, you know, to these characters or this situation or whatever, you know. And this one actually pulled it together quite nicely. It was very well paced. I it might have been just because the actor's portrayal, he was so good, it made me want a little bit more, you know, a little bit more into Van Gogh. but still, it was really nice. It was really nice to see it. And apparently, according to Tara, there were all sorts of little artist type sort of visual cues to different paintings here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to do sort of a video game, and, you know, spot the painting, pretty much every set,
set. A drinking game, right?
Yeah, you could do a drinking game.
With absinthe.
Okay, yeah. Every time you
don't,
see
don't
the
use
set
absinthe, because you'll end up with toxic poisoning.
So anyway,
green berries flying around your head.
So go on, Tara.
Well, every single scene there was a setup for at least one painting, possibly two or three. And I know the DH and I watched it and were at several points yelling, you know, don't hit that! Don't! Oh my God! There go the blue irises! Oh my God! There's that!
They missed the irises because he flew over them.
Yeah.
So thankfully he didn't splat them.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure that table went over because that fight scene went on for quite a while.
Bloody funny. And then he says, "Oh, well, do you want to see what it looks like?" And then he paints over the irises painting. You think?
No.
That was,
well, he probably had four or five of them. I mean, he did. Yeah. He did multiple copies of his most famous works. I mean, the sunflowers painting he supposedly did for Amy. When I first saw that, in the museum, let's see, what is it? The Musée d'Orsay in Paris. I haven't been to that gallery, but I've seen that painting, and I was like, that's not in Paris. And then I went online, and I found out, oh, shit, there's one in Paris, and there's one in London, and there's one in Netherlands, and there's one over here.
Just like the haystack. Well, I mean, apparently, from what I've read, a lot of the Impressionists like to do multiple paintings of the same subject in different lighting, different times.
Oh, no. I mean, these are like copies. These are knockoffs.
Oh, really?
I mean, they've got, you know, the same colors in the background or a slight change of color in the background. And I mean, he would, if he found something he liked, he'd just go, well, hell, I'll make five or six of them. And so...
If you think Count Scarlione, City of Death, Mona Lisa, bricked up in the cellar, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly. So I can completely see him grabbing up a copy of The Irises and just painting. You know, fuck, I've got half a dozen of these here. Okay. Canvas is expensive. Here, let me paint over this.
Well, I think he had a photocopy.
So speaking of gadgets. Boy, I love that gadget. That was like one of the best little gadgets I've seen so far. It was very steampunk. It was very mod. It was cool. I just loved it.
Steampunk iPad holder is what it is.
Oh God, that'd be very funny. You need to build one of those, Tara. You need to build one of those.
I was thinking, how much fun would it be if I could, you know, get a clear enough screen cap and then put all of those pictures on the iPad and then put it into that holder and walk around with that at Gallifrey, you know, sort of peering over my shoulder looking at it.
Funny. Boy, oh boy.
Well, hang on.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dale.
While we're on this ridiculous piece of technology that he was using to peer over his own shoulder with a wing mirror on top, and while he was programming it in the TARDIS, did nobody else squee at the Hartnell and Troughton popping up?
Oh, that was of course
nice.
We did.
That was nice.
Of course we did.
Doctor! Oh my god! It's with you, Hartnell! Oh, look, there's Patrick Troughton. Oh, there's no more.
See, I was kind of expecting that the printer to just keep spitting out pictures.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking regeneration. So you're my replacements, a dandy and a clown.
Nice.
So that's the third time we've seen Hartnell this season.
Yeah, I mean, are they trying to make a point there or what? I don't know.
See, that's what David claims. David claims that David is going to enter into the Happiness Patrol contest with his little pet theory that the 11th Doctor is actually the first Doctor.
Well, they're all the same bloke.
No. He thinks that this is where the time is going to fold and that it's going to turn out that the 11th Doctor is, it's convoluted, and he will go on at great length. And I'm sure when he puts his entry in,
tell him to put his entry in. We'll treat it just like everybody else's.
He has this wild, crazy theory, and it makes him happy, so he can have it.
Do you know, if Hartnell turns up and saves the day in episode 13, I will be terribly chuffed. Because
If Hartnell shows up at the end, that's David's entry, okay?
Okay.
That's David's entry for the contest.
So Tara, tell me something. What were your favorite scenes in this one?
Oh, the scene where I was bawling the hardest was the scene where they've taken Vincent to the gallery and he's looking around at all of his stuff in just wonderment, and I was just absolutely incoherent with tears.
Aww.
And I just adore that scene because I hate to say it, I have thought about that. I have fantasized about, you know, how cool would it be if the Doctor could, you know, inspire certain people, you know, because there's so many artists, you know, they are manic depressive. It seems like most of the really good artists have got something wrong with them. And if there was just somebody to, you know, sort of tap them on the shoulder and say, what you're doing is going to be wonderful. Wouldn't that be lovely to have some sort of, you know, confirmation that what you're doing is right, you know, that people are gonna love you for what you've done.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing, when he was like, you know, you first enter his room where he stays, and there's all the paintings around, and Amy is just like dumbfounded by all this. She can't believe it, and you're looking at it, and it is typically an artist sort of flat, and because they do have all their work hanging just anywhere, and at the time he didn't
piled
know.
In stacks.
Yes, exactly.
And he, I've got two boxes full of paintings.
And he's just you know, it's their work, and they do whatever the hell they want to with it. And to see the what was it, the coffee pot on one of the paintings.
Yeah.
I just thought that was. I thought that was. I'm so glad that they put a scene like that in there, because that's really what most artists might do, actually.
Yeah,
unless
see,
they're
I've
so full of themselves.
I've never put a coffee pot or a teapot cup on any of my paintings, but now this week I took a little trip up to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe. And since it's so close, I tend to go a couple of times a year, because I love looking at her work. And she was incredibly nasty about anything that she didn't like, that didn't work, in her opinion. She destroyed. And it made people crazy around her who could see these beautiful things. And she'd just tear them up, set them on fire, throw them out, you know. And you look back on the body of her work, and, I mean, she had – there's – tons and tons of her work. Most of it is, you know, in private collections.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really, really particular about where her stuff went, and whenever possible, she tried to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And but she destroyed quite a bit of her work because she didn't consider it to be up to snuff.
Right, right.
And I've talked to a lot of artists, and that's apparently one of the hardest things to do, but one of the most necessary things to do is to go through your work frequently and chuck everything that isn't up to your standards.
Well, it keeps you fresh too. It keeps you on your toes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And being able to self-evaluate is a very important trait.
Very important.
Whether you're an artist or whatever. But anyway, we're getting a little off the point.
Sorry.
Dale, tell me what were some of your favorite scenes?
Oh, God, there are tons of literally so many of them. Okay, one of the most magical scenes they have ever had in Doctor Who. Well, actually, there were two of them in this episode. The one where they're all holding hands looking up at the stars, and you see the sky transform into how Vincent sees it.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, I started crying.
That whole effect was absolutely beautifully done. It was perfectly done, actually.
Wanted to take a 5-pound note, put it in the mail to the mill. Here you go, boys. Here's
so
a tip
that.
For that.
I love the bit where they did take Vincent to the art gallery, but when the doctor's asking Bill Nighy, who I thought was fantastic as Dr. Black.
Wonderful. Wasn't he
literally
wonderful?
And he's saying his opinion of Van Gogh as the best painter ever within earshot of Vincent, and his reaction was stunningly good.
Yeah.
So I love that.
That was a great scene.
That was amazing. You know, just literally, because, you know, the doctor was doing it on purpose.
Of course.
Just to give him some self-worth. And I thought that was a beautiful... And the TARDIS got fly-posted.
Yeah. That was... Actually, that was one of my favorite bits.
And it burns
off. What's left, it's on fire. I'm like, oh, okay then. That's fair enough. That's what happens these days. If it's snow, it falls off. If it's fly-posted, they set fire. So, yeah, that... The whole thing was stunning from start to finish. Absolutely adored it, and I hope Richard Curtis really, really writes more Doctor Who. I want him to do a Christmas special, so it's longer. I want him to do an episode for every season ever now.
Yes,
now, has he written for previous Doctor Who?
No, never.
He hasn't? What
that
is
was
he?
His first Who.
Really?
Do you know what all else he's done?
What else has he done?
He did do Doctor Who and the Curse of Fatal Death, which was the comic relief one.
Well, wait a minute. No, he did that with Stephen Moffat, though.
Yeah, he did.
But so what else has he done?
All right, television-wise, he has done Blackadder.
Uh-huh.
He's done,
well, he's done all sorts, hasn't he? Literally,
he's done all sorts of things. Well, he did a Christmas special called Bernard and the Genie, which is one of my favorites. He's most famous, of course, for doing Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, really?
And Love Actually.
And Notting Hill.
Yeah, so all that sort of stuff. Very Hugh Grant foppish sort of stuff.
Yeah, four weddings and a funeral. That was probably the only Hugh Grant movie that I really liked.
Oddly, I mean, as an actor, I don't like Hugh Grant's style at all. But when they put him in Doctor Who, The Curse of the Fatal Death, the comic relief one, although he only had literally a couple of minutes as the Doctor, I thought he was sensational. I thought he would have made
darling.
Fantastic. If they'd actually put him as the proper Doctor, I would have watched it every week because he was stunningly good. So, yeah, that would have worked. Although Rowan Atkinson was amazingly good if he'd been a real Doctor as well.
Oh, I don't think I could have taken that every week.
Oh, I would have.
That's the thing is that, you know, I love Rowan Atkinson, but I love the Doctor, and he just was not right for the Doctor. I mean,
I think he was, because everybody has the Doctor in there. And of course, no, like our Doctor, every version would be different. So I think Rowan's Doctor would actually be quite dark and really very, very serious, and it would be fantastic.
He'd have to be. I mean, to be able to shake...
Believe him.
To be able to shake the Mr. Bean character and make everybody believe that he is the Doctor.
Did you know there was a Dalek in Mr. Bean?
What?
Yes.
There was a Dalek in Mr. Bean.
I'll have to look that up. Leela, did you know?
I didn't know that.
Yes, there's a Dalek in Mr. Bean. Admittedly, it's only 6 inches high and it's a toy. But it's in the Christmas episode, one of the Christmas episodes, where he's playing with a nativity scene and the Dalek storms in and starts blowing up the sheep.
So Leela.
And then he gets chased away by a tank.
So Leela.
Yes.
What was your favorite scene out of this particular episode?
My favorite scene is one that Dale likes a lot, too, which is when they're all holding hands on the grass looking up the sky, and you see how Vincent sees that, because that's how Starry Night looks, and that is literally my favorite painting ever. So it was great just to see that, and it was like, aw, I love that
painting. The way they did it was absolutely magical.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
The way the stars just start bleeding out, and you think, oh, what's going on? That's a bit... special, and then yeah, it turns quite rapidly into that pit, and you just think that is amazing. So yeah, I love that. That was utterly magical. That was possibly one of the best moments ever in Doctor Who. Generally,
again, thank you, the Mill. Thank you, boys at the Mill. Thank you. Thank you.
Please hire me. So. So anyway, I enjoyed that, but I like the interaction, the scenes, the interactions between Amy and her hero worship of Vincent was great. I enjoyed that because, you know, she's gotten a recollection of Rory now. So
the Doctor dropped his foot in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Doctor slipped up there and said Rory, and that was kind of interesting. But it was good. It was good because... Because you get to see Amy, and she kind of flourishes a bit more in this, and she was written nicely in this one also. So it was really good to see that. It was really good to see that because the past couple of episodes, I really haven't liked Amy and how she's been portrayed. But this one was really good, and I think. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this one now is my favorite of the season so far, followed very closely by The 11th Hour, simply because it was so nicely well-balanced. It was Amy and the Doctor doing something historically, and I always like the historical ones. Those are always very nice to see. And everybody did such a great job production-wise on this. The set dressing was immaculate. It was great. And it really made you feel like, you were there. And it brought you in. The story brought you in very quickly. And I like that a lot. So, yeah. So it was good. But, the other thing about this, speaking of color, the whole thing seemed a little bright and sunshiny in a lot of bits, and very yellow. And then, like, when the monster would come in, it was, like, very blue. Did anybody else notice that?
That was the whole idea.
Yeah.
You're seeing it through Vincent's world.
Yes, exactly.
And Vincent's world is color-based.
Right.
So, yes.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. I thought
because,
that was so
cool.
Because,
you know, they actually said, you know, the sky is not black. The sky is a dark blue. Uh-huh. And you know, all the scenes with the monster, they were very dark, but they weren't actually dark. Dark. They weren't dark as in you can't see. Uh-huh. They were dark as in darker shades of. So yeah, I thought that worked really well. I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
So why couldn't anybody else see the monster? What do you think?
It's all an illusion, an allusion to Vincent's possible mental instability.
Uh-huh.
So it's very much, is Vincent mad? Who said or?
I did. Or it could be an allusion to Vincent's, I mean, I've read his letters to his brother, and he talks about a technique that he uses called looking hard. And he would use a frame and frame his pictures, what he was looking at to figure out what would be the best possible painting. And he trained himself to look hard at things. So
context of the episode last night.
Right.
That wasn't mentioned.
Yes, so
there was more to do with the mental instability.
To the people who'd had an art education.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely.
So there's so many different interpretations as to why other people couldn't see the monster. Was it Vincent's madness? Was it the bottle of absinthe he'd had that evening? Was it his artist's eye?
But there's an ongoing theory which has been going for hundreds and hundreds of years that the very young, the very old, aka about to die, and the mentally unstable can see other realities, other worlds, fairies, ghosts, monsters, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think it goes more with that sort of theory for me as a, you know, as somebody who goes around looking for ghosts, etc. So I love that sort of theory that, you know, like if you're slightly the wrong side of mentally stable, then you can see these things. And it takes.
So pick your theory.
A certain amount of character to see them.
Well, I enjoyed it, and it was really kind of I like the whole doctor thing about it, where he had to use his little steampunk iPad holder to see it, and so that was kind of neat, and also a little bit of a tip of the hat to the Medusa. And
yes.
Perseus thing, which I thought was great. You know, that was very clever.
Thing. Yeah, absolutely.
That was very clever, very clever. And when they were going back into the museum, you know, at the end, he passes the statue of Medusa or Perseus holding up Medusa's head.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so I thought that was very fun.
It was quite a solid nod to it, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. So that was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. I hope to see more episodes like this. Not necessarily written by the same writer, but you know, this is good Doctor Who. This is the kind of
this
Doctor Who that we like to see.
This episode had heart and soul. Yes, okay,
exactly.
This is what I've been looking for.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm in the same boat as you, Uncle Lou, in that this is my favorite and 11th Hour is a second, and everything else is a way, way, way distant fourth.
Well, I wouldn't say way, way, but, you know,
for me.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Tara.
Well.
So, but yeah, it is weird because, like, we're all going to have, I mean, after the season's over, you know, in August, we're going to be looking back and going, okay, here's our favorites. You know, this was this was that. You know, that sort of thing. And it'll be a lot easier to see. But when you see it, like we're seeing it as it's happening, it's an interesting thing. It's hard to put it on because you know, you love seeing brand new Doctor Who every Saturday. You love it. But then like you have to sort of like kind of try to sit back and digest it and say, okay, critically. Is this as good as it can get? Because you don't want to say too terribly bad things because you don't want Dale upset with you. But still,
that's the odd thing for me. I mean, there's every week, I mean, although I come on every week and say, yes, I loved it, yes, I loved it, and I always do love it, there are always, for me, things I think that could have been done differently, that I think that could have been done better. But I don't say it, and I'll tell you why I don't say it. Because it's my problem. So if I feel a character doesn't work, that's not to say the character didn't work. That's to say the character didn't work for me. But I don't see why anybody else should share that opinion, because, you know, why should I foist that on them? So that's why I always say, because, you know, I loved every episode this season. I have loved every episode this season. I even quite like the new Daleks. They're not my favourites, I have to say, and they're far from my favourites, but they still work. They're still recognisably Daleks, la 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 la, yada yada yada, even if they do look like Teletubbies.
Okay.
But
uh-huh. Yes.
That's why, but I have to say, last night's one, I sat there and I put on Facebook after that. I actually thought that was perfect, Doctor Who. There was not one thing for me that jarred. Not one. And I watched it at the end. Well, I was trying to watch it at the end, wiping eyes constantly because I was in floods.
Yeah.
The minute Vincent started, I was off. I was like, oh, no. And Amy's disappointment at the end when there weren't suddenly 8,000 more paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And she realised that time hasn't actually changed. They just moved it along with a little more ease.
Yeah.
And it was a hard lesson for Amy to learn as well. But then that little tiny nod at the end with for Amy on the sunflowers, and that was it. I was a horrible, gooey, bally mess by that point.
Leela, did you cry?
Yes.
A little or
Lewis,
not.
Lewis, did you cry?
Yes, I did. I shed a tear. I am not ashamed to say. I'm in touch enough with my masculinity, I can say safely, that I didn't cry. I cried a little bit here. So it was good. It was fun. The whole thing about the doctor and Amy's disappointment with there's not a lot of more paintings, you know, was the fact that the doctor always seems he wants to go and put things right. He can tell if something's a little off. And so at the beginning of the episode, when he saw the monster in the window in the painting, he knew right away that something was wrong and he had to set it straight. So that was good. You know, the whole like, you know, moving things along the right timeline, yep, the way they're supposed to be. So that was very great. You know what? Another thing I forgot to mention that I loved is when they take the paints and stuff and they're going to the church and he's painting the church and the doctor is completely bored with the whole process and he's like and he goes, so this is the way time passes for you
very slowly. Brilliant. I
that
loved
was
that.
Great. That was
and in the right
line.
Order.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I love that. In fact, there was nothing about this that wasn't actually a gem. I thought the doctor's lines were brilliant. I thought everything that Tony Curran did as Vincent was stunning. I was a little worried about this one because I don't like Four Weddings and a Funeral. I think it's a dreadful, dreadful piece of dreariness.
Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie.
I saw it when it came out and I actually enjoyed it.
I don't like Notting Hill. I don't like Love Actually. Blackadder I like because it's actually stupidly funny. Best one for me was Blackadder 2. And I don't like Bill Nighy either as an actor.
I have to say
in Shaun of the Dead, he's absolutely bloody hilarious.
Oh,
but
wait, have you seen him in Underworld as the kick-ass vampire? Yes!
Shut up, woman, I'm talking.
Love that.
By the way,
Bill Nighy kicking ass and taking names. Woo!
Shut up. Dear God, woman.
By the way, I love that blue tie.
He was, yeah, exactly. So the whole byplay of him saying you could have sold it for a sofa and possibly a few chairs, which was almost a tenanty sort of way to put it. And I thought he played the character or underplayed the character beautifully. So I thought his performance in this was perfect. And the whole thing at the end, the eulogy, if you like, for Van Gogh when he's within earshot, that was absolutely perfect. There was nothing to dislike about this. Although I've already seen reviews that I hated this, I thought it was awful. It makes me want to go and punch them in the face, frankly.
So,
we have confirmation of why he was not listed in the credits. Was it so that he wouldn't have to be paid his normal scale?
Or, no idea.
Yeah, that's something I've been debating about.
So you're thinking that he did it because he wanted to be in Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, according to his contracts, he's expected now to make X amount of pounds every time he has a speaking role. And I don't doubt for an instant that, you know, he was offered that part and he said, oh, yeah, I'll take that part. I'll have that part. And probably the only way they could afford him was to not list him in the credits so that he could essentially do it for free.
I think he probably did it because it's a Curtis script. So, yeah, good for him. And I thought he did it beautifully. So absolutely wonderful.
But it is a pity that he's not named. I mean, because I'd kind of like him to have his name on that.
Well, you know, I tell you, it was a great one, and I'm hoping that everything's going to be good from, you know, this one to the end. It's going to be just a knockout season. It's going to be God, I hope so. I think it'll be great. So, but tell me this: 1890 is when this was supposed to be set. You already mentioned that he drank absinthe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Dale, why don't you enlighten the folks about what else was wrong with this?
Well, we don't know. That's the whole point, because this was 1800s. We didn't actually have as much medical knowledge that as we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several things that actually are possible that several people have put forward. So there's the absinthe thing. Now, absinthe has a toxic content in it,
mm-hmm.
which makes it slightly hallucinogenic. From that, it's called thujone, actually. It's actually the specific part is called thujone, and it distorts and inflames the retina on the eye, and that actually increases or distorts the way you see light. So it makes you see halos around things. And if you look at the picture of the stars, Leela's favorite painting,
uh-huh.
and you look around the moon and the stars themselves, they've all got these amazing halos. Now that's very interesting, considering how much he drank. That's from the lead poisoning. So that's fine. The thujone is it makes you see things in yellow. So it was the reason he drank absinthe was in order to counter the anxiety, the depression, the possible epilepsy that he had.
Yeah.
But as a toxic alcoholic drink. So and he drank a lot of it. So high doses of this stuff can actually see, you can either see little points of yellow in your vision, or it can give you almost like jaundiced vision, a bit like watching an episode of The Simpsons.
Ugh.
And then we can talk about the fact that he was being treated by an absolute quack.
Well,
who,
yes.
Was very jealous of his artistic ability, because Dr. Gashet was an artist himself, a crap artist. And, in fact, had the audacity to sketch pictures of Vincent on his deathbed.
Huh.
Nice. So the other major theory is that Vincent had temporal lobe epilepsy,
uh-huh.
which,
yeah.
of course, again, would explain the mood swings, etc. And, again, one of the side effects of that is either spots or total vision becomes yellow, because you treat temporal lobe epilepsy with a drug called, oh, my God, come on. It's actually called Digitalis, and it's a prescription drug, and it can actually cause one to see in yellow vision, or to see yellow spots in one vision. And Vincent was very fond of yellow, so it may have been because he saw more things in yellow. And as you said, the episode was, on the sunnier bits, quite yellow.
Huh.
So it's all tied in very, very cleverly. And of course, if he was actually bipolar, extremes of highs and lows, which he did seem to be, that
oh,
would actually cause
bipolar. Oh dear
then
God!
That would cause exhaustion, depression, and of course, ultimately, it led to his suicide, where he shot himself. Apparently, according to him, for the good of everyone, which is sad.
Well,
he was also addicted to writing.
The scene where the doctor goes in to, and goes, wakey, wakey, you know, come on. And he's, like, in his bed, curled up, doesn't want to do anything, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, the doctor's trying to be sympathetic to him and puts his hand on him, you know, oh, it'll be all right, that sort of thing. He lashes out violently, and the doctor is like, he's kind of taken aback by this, and he realizes that something is terribly wrong. Let me back off from this. Let him do his own thing, and that was nice because you know it wasn't like you know oh the doctor's here I'm going to be okay
everything's going to be fine right. Yeah absolutely
because it's not with people who are depressed and who are bipolar like that you just you know. It's got, you know, and he talks about it later on the road with Amy how he has his fits, so to say.
Yeah, his dark moments. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so that was good. I'm glad that they treated that in a more realistic manner than.
Well, there's so much you can do with Doctor Who. I mean, this is one of those stories that Doctor Who does beautifully, but you have to be terribly careful because, you know, like Churchill, you can't go, although we had Daleks in Churchill's time. We know very well how Churchill behaved. So you can't have a massive departure from the character because it will appear unrealistic. It will not be true to the character. You can't completely rewrite him and make him horrendously heroic because, of course, Churchill actually was. So because it wouldn't be true to the person. So, of course, doing Vincent, they had to treat him with respect, which I think they did enormous respect in this.
Uh-huh.
But you have to be very, very careful to show the character as is, not a stereotyped view.
Mm-hmm.
So, hence, you know, he still had his ear at that point. It's liberties you can take with the character in order to progress the storytelling, which is important role because it's Doctor Who. It's not Vincent van Gogh, the life story. It's Doctor Who.
That's true.
So you need to be painting a whole picture of the character rather than specific parts of his character. So you need a whole image, not necessarily an insanely accurate image, but you need it to be around and reasonably truthful, which I think they did beautifully. So there.
Wow. So did you know that you can still get absinthe now?
Yes, because one of my friends drinks it.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, one of my friends drinks it too, and I'm just like, I don't know. And he goes, man, I wish I could get a hold of the stuff that they used to make. I'm like, oh,
the nuts. The poisonous stuff.
Yeah, the poisonous
stuff. Let's all drink that.
Yeah, right. Now, come June 26th, we'll see the last episode of the season, which hopefully will be just absolutely spectacular. And, and
I have feelings about this one.
And a lot of people.
I'm very worried.
Oh, don't be worried, Dale. I'm sure it'll be all right.
No, I am. I have a feeling. Although I'm going to love it. You know I'm going to love it. I have a feeling it's, as Tara said last week, I have a feeling it's going to be a do-over.
Yeah. Well, our big thing here at the Happiness Patrol is you need to write us. Send in an email to the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com because we've got our contest going on. We've got our contest. So I'm hoping we've got a couple of entries so far, and I'm hoping to get a lot more entries in order for you guys to win the three issues of Doctor Who Weekly, number one, number two, and number three. Yes.
Complete with transfers.
So what we want to do is, you know, write it in. Let us know what you think or how you think it's going to end, because we're very curious here. And we are. We're still, like, not really sure exactly. Tara thinks it's going to be a do-over.
Do-over!
Dale, you pretty much think the same way, right?
No, I don't. No.
No?
I'm worried it may be.
Oh, you're worried
it
may be.
I'm hoping it's not. However, I will point out for anybody looking to enter the competition that I also have access to all of the spoiler sites, which I am checking against entries for certain key elements. And if you give them away, I'm going to feed your entry to, I don't know, to the Slither or something like that. So... we're keeping an eye on that just to make sure that you're not actually just going through the spoiler sites and going, oh, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this character's going to do this and this character will be fine in the end.
Yeah, there are a couple of rules. The only ones, you know, if you want to learn more, go to the Blogspot and check out the Happiness Patrol giveaway contest blog. And the rules are basically, you got to get this in by June 26th. You got to. You have to. After that, of course, it's, you know, pretty much obvious. And Stephen Moffat, not eligible to win. Not eligible to win. So, and as Dale said,
Matt Smith, not eligible to win.
Matt Smith.
No, he is. Well, no, he's fine. He can enter. I don't mind.
If Matt Smith wins, he has to come on the Happiness Patrol and tell us all about it. So, and the other bit is, as Dale said, don't, you know, this is sort of like on a on the good faith ethic here. So no spoilers from websites because Dale will be checking, and the last thing you want is Dale to be checking up on you, right, Dale?
That's probably quite true. It's not something you would particularly desire.
So these are really cool issues of Doctor Who Weekly. 1979, they're over 30 years old. Each one has Tom Baker on the cover. One has Tom Baker with K-9, which is really cool. And the other one has...
issue 2, Master.
Yes, and the other one, I think the first issue has the Doctor, Tom Baker, with a Dalek. So that's kind of neat.
Indeed, no?
Yes, and they all have the stickers with them. So
they're not stickers, they're transfers.
Oh, I'm sorry, transfers. They're transfers. How did that work, Tara? You just put water on it, or what?
Don't look at me. I've never... the ones that I've seen are still in the original plastic.
Yeah, so...
What you were meant to do is you took the little sheet of tracing paper off the back that protected them,
uh-huh.
And they're actually printed in reverse on the back, and then you put it over the top of something, get a pencil, and scribble over the top of it, and it transfers it onto the other medium.
Well, there you go, boys and girls. If you didn't know how to work this 1979 technology...
Don't do it. Leave them mint.
So there you go. You may have them as a giveaway for your podcast as well. So who knows? So, but anyway, as for your podcast. Yeah, I have a feeling those are the only people who are going to be entering, like other podcasters. So whatever. It's okay. It's okay.
We should have a rule saying no other podcasters.
No.
Can enter, but you won't win anything.
And I'm not, you know what, I'm not sure yet, but I think I may have, I'll have to see if I can dig up a prize for a second place, like the most creative entry. So, but we have one entry already. Should I read it, you think, for the show, or what?
No.
Okay, we'll read these.
I think we should actually do a special on all of the entries.
Okay, we can do that, and that'll be after the 26th. So yeah, that'll be fun. We'll announce the winner after the 26th.
Well, you know what we should do? The one nearest the 26th, so the one on the 27th that we do.
Uh huh.
We shouldn't mention the final at all. The final episode. We should just do entry. And at the very, very end, we can go, oh, and Doctor Who finished. Join us next week on the Happiness Patrol. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, fun. Well, I'm looking at that clock on the wall. I'm looking at that clock on the wall, gang, and you know what it says?
It says
go to bed.
It says we're out of time this week.
It does not. It says Doctor Who.
Once more for the Happiness Patrol. We got to go. We got to get on out of here. We got lives, you know. We can't just sit around gabbing about Doctor Who all damn day. Now, can we?
You know, that's a lot of words to fit on a clock, Lewis.
It certainly is. So, anyway, thanks so much for listening to the Happiness Patrol. Make sure you tune in every week. So, hey, gang, remember, there's only a couple more weeks left in the Happiness Patrol giveaway contest. So, if you want to win those absolute wonderful first three issues of Doctor Who Weekly, which go for how many pounds and how many how much do they go for on eBay nowadays, Dale? You have any idea?
At least £1.50.
Oh, there you go. So right.
Actually, they were 12p when they came out in 1979.
Yeah. So
and Doctor Who Monthly or Doctor Who Magazine or whatever the hell it's called now, no goes for about £4.50 a month.
So make sure
you write in and let us know how you think this season is going to end. So whoever comes closest to Stephen Moffat's script, you're going to win those Doctor Who Weekly. So keep writing in. So anyway, next week, what is next week's episode, Dale? Do we know?
It's called The Lodger. And
thank
it's
you.
Episode 11, and it has that James Corden bloke in it.
So if you can't get enough of once a week happiness, make sure to visit our blog spot where you can find all the back issues and anything else you want to know what's going on with the four of us, the Happiness Patrol. Lima, why don't you tell them where the good folks can find that?
You can follow our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
That's right, and if you would like anything from a hat to a coffee mug to a thong to a t-shirt, you can visit us at our Cafe Press store.
And the address for that is cafepress.com/happinesspatrol.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, and until next week, I am Lewis B.
I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
And I am a giant turkey monster.
Gobble, gobble. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This is Leela S., and you've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Vincent Van Gogh.
He was brilliant, by the way.
Vincent Van Gogh.
No, he's not Klingon.
Vincent Van Gogh.
Thank you. Dear Happiness Patrol listeners, I do apologize for the American pronunciation of Vincent Van Gogh, because, you know, frankly, they're not used to having proper words put in their mouths. But
not really.
We will persevere and try and teach them how to say proper things by the end of the run. Okay?
Americans will put all kinds of things in their mouth, but proper words is not one of them.
Be impressed. Leela, your turn.
Okay, Leela.
I honestly can't. I really can't.
Hey, don't make her cough up a lung. Don't make her cough up a lung.
Come on, just try. I tried, Leela. He forced me.
She has special dispensation. She's still got that cough.
Ada, shut up and play with a frog. Leela, try it.
The frogs are asleep. It's daytime.
So should I be. It's daytime.
Go ahead, Leela. Try it, Leela. Let's hear it. Clear your throat. And let's go.
Yeah, get some mucus in there. It helps.
Come on. We're waiting. We can wait all day if necessary.
We damn sure can. This whole thing could just be one long bit of silence, Leela. So come on.
I can't.
You could be playing the Jeopardy theme about now.
What do you mean you can't?
Oh, please don't. Please don't. No. Okay, no. My school, someone was like, you should play the Jeopardy theme song in between classes. And they did. All year.
Leela?
You do go to a nerd school. Or did go to the nerd
school. I know. No, I graduated. I'm done.
Yay, you're done with nerd school. Now you just have to put up with us.
I know.
Leela?
So Leela is about to pronounce Vincent's last name.
I can't.
Try it. Come on.
No.
Come on, Leela.
No, I can't. I honestly can't.
Well, how do you pronounce it, Leela?
I just say Van Gogh, so you're going to deal with that.
Ooh.
See, that's the American pronunciation. It's the American pronunciation.
Anyway, let's get this going. All right, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Who are we rooting for? The Doctor. Hey, the Doctor.
Shut up.
Your weekly fix. Make sure that you go to our blog spot and check it out, because there you can find all the back issues. And Leela, why don't you tell them the address on that?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol. And don't forget to check out our blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Oh my God!
Join us next time on the blog at
whatever the fuck. You know.
/ like I give a shit.
Okay.
yeah, but yeah, we've been wittering on so much. But that's why I love doing the Happiness Patrol, because we do. We just witter on.
Well, it's good. I mean,
and then Lewis tapes it all back together with a magic wand.
With a magic
and
wand.
And suddenly it makes sense.
It sounds semi-coherent.
Yeah, that's the one. And then suddenly it makes us look vaguely good. And you think, oh, did I actually say any of that shit? Or did he just put the words together in a different order?
Little Leela, and make it sexy.
What?
Make
oh,
it
shut up,
sexy
Chris.
So the guys will love it. Love it.
Okay, you can shut up now.
I'm shutting up. I'm waiting for you.
You know I love you, Lewis.
Sometimes I wonder.
That's our Uncle Lou, living in a life of constant wonderment.
You got that right.